Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Morphonomico.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original,
Uncensored
Radio.
That's right, everybody. We are unstoppable. We are original. And oh my gosh, are we original tonight? My name is Karen Ashley. I'm one of your co-hosts. I have Mr. Jeffrey Emmett in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hi. I've also got Mike J in the house. How are you, Mike J?
I am super excited. I can't believe it. We're definitely going old school original tonight, for sure.
OG original. And the beautiful Allison is running our screen room tonight. Oh, my gosh, guys. I say original with a capital O. Original Red Ranger coming on the show tonight, Mr. Austin St. John. Yes. The myth, the legend. I've never met Austin. I've never talked to Austin. I've made sure not to speak to him prior to the interview because I wanted this to be the first time here on Uncensored Radio that he and I ever got to meet, even though it's over the phone. I'm so excited. I mean, I don't even have words for how I'm feeling right now. How are you feeling, Jeffrey?
You are as excited as I was when we did the Ricky Lake interview. That's where you're at with this.
Yeah, right? That's my level of excitement, like Ricky Lake level for Mike J. If anybody knows, like, yeah. If you haven't heard that episode, by the way, go to our Uncensored Radio, myuncensoredradio.com. You can listen to that episode anytime on demand. You can listen to all of our episodes. We've interviewed practically every Power Ranger there is to interview. Austin St. John is the next one to get in a hot seat. He's going uncensored, guys.
Honey, you don't know what he's getting into.
He really
and
does.
I personally, I've got a little beef with him, to be honest.
Oh, Mom.
Oh,
you
no.
Cannot
Mama,
have beef
what's
with
your
our
beef,
VIP
Mama?
Guest.
My beef is, one night I Googled myself after a year doing this radio show with Miss Ashley and going to all these conventions, and why do I Google myself and all these Power Ranger photos pop up and his face is all over it? I'm like, okay, we both have dark hair, but that's where it ends. He could kick and things, and, like, I could sit.
I mean, this is the thing, though. The fact that we're on a radio show together, I think now your life is automatically tied. You know, Power Rangers, all things Power Rangers, as much as we've all tried to escape it and, like, do other things and other jobs, again, it comes back to the fact that Power Rangers will probably be the biggest job we've ever done.
Period. What can I say? It's my morphin' life. I mean, come on.
Exactly. I mean, but it's serious. Like, I mean, really, this is why I was so excited for Austin to come on, because Austin is going to be doing conventions. Like, next week, we're going to be in Houston, Texas, at Comic-Palooza. So if you're in Houston, you got to come and see us. You got to come and meet him. I mean, he's been on hiatus forever. That's kind of the crazy thing. I've never met him because he's been living an amazing life, and he's been doing amazing things. And I'm so excited he's going to be able to tell all of you about it. And this is what's the best part, guys. Every single one of the people that are calling in are either Uncensored Radio listener VIPs. They're either VIP fans that I've met throughout the years at the convention. So, I mean, literally, they take fandom to the next level. Or they are fandom people that have posted pictures on Facebook showing their fandom. And I mean, really amazing pictures. And they won the contest.
Yeah, I mean, was completely amazed by some of the photos that I saw attached to our UCR hashtag on Twitter and on your Facebook page. I mean, these guys are all out.
So that's the thing. Like, that's why I was, like, planning the show. I was like, the only people asking him questions are going to be diehard Super True fans. So we're going to try to get to all the calls. Okay, guys, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. The one, the only, the OG original Red Ranger, the original leader of Power Rangers, Mr. Austin St. John is in the house. He's on Uncensored Radio. Woo.
Holy hell. What an introduction, man. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. What a long time, like, no see. no talk. What kind of craziness has been going on in your world, radio shows?
Oh, I know, right? It's been crazy, but you know what? It's going to get even crazier because now I'm going to be seeing a lot of you.
Oh, well, that may not be a good thing. I don't know. I got to face only my mother could love, but, you know, I'm happy to hang out with you if you'll, like, have me in your presence. You know what I mean?
Oh, man,
be careful.
So
she's a slave driver.
Yeah, she is.
You know what? You know what? I believe it. She's got, like, she's got that, you know what? I'm here right now. Let's get this done. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a
bad
thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a bad thing. I mean, one thing I will say, we will have a blast. We'll work hard and we'll party even harder. So I'm kind of a fun person to have around. Yeah.
When was the last time? I've been crazy. Mm-hmm. I've been all over the globe in business. But I'm trying to remember, holy crap, when was the last time, what year was it we were on a set together? I remember when you guys got there, and then I walked away and, everything's a blur.
You know what? I've never been on set with you because when we got the job, we were you guys were gone, and so I never even got to meet you. I think at the time you guys were you, Walter, and some stunt guys were. You had a house together at one time, and I think we met briefly once, but we've never met, never ever ever. So that's the crazy part. It was just. They swooped us in, and we were well, where's everybody else? And we realized at that moment that we were, the new kids on the block, and we were oh, my God, we've got the hugest shoes to fill. What the hell happened?
Yeah, we were I remember being with Walt and Tweed and the rest of the crew, and we were just you know what? Yeah, well, we were where we were, and we're enough is enough. This is where we are. This is what we believe. And it's time for us to bounce if people aren't feeling what we're feeling. But,
nice.
You know, there's a lot of crazy business in the fandom and a lot of conjecture and other stuff like that. I've never really spoken on the issue in public.
Right.
But, man, I'm just glad to meet you. I remember you always being so upbeat and bubbly and, just awesome. And maybe it was only at the Casa, you know. But I feel like I remember it. Maybe I'm just been hit in the head too many times.
No, it's really to a fault. You cannot be mad at Karen for very long because she's just so upbeat and energetic. She's like the Energizer Bunny. It's nuts.
It's true.
It's
very,
a good
very
problem
true.
To have. Good Aww. Problem to have, right?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. This is my question because I know, all of us at one point had to audition for that crazy show called Power Rangers. And I always wondered, what was your auditioning process like? How did you get the part? Because you were the OG original Red Ranger. You guys, you were the original leader. So you must have done something amazing for them to go, oh, he's going to be the leader of the pack. You know, we're going to kick this show off with him. And, you know, so how did that come about? How did you audition for the show?
Oh, man, I don't even know if I did anything spectacular. I remember a friend of mine and a $20 bet. He was like, hey, man, you know what? You should go check this out. And I wasn't even an actor at the time. My friend was a commercial acting teacher. And he was mm-hmm. You know what, dude? You should go check this out. There's this audition in the newspaper for a show called Phantoms. And they're looking for a young guy, martial artist, leading actor type. You should go bang this out. I'm like, man, I don't know anything about anything, much less acting. I'm 17. I wasn't even 18 yet. And
wow.
He's like, go do it. I'm going to lay down $20. I'm going to bet you're perfect for the role. And I was like, all right, fine, man. That's sandwich bread for a week. And next thing I know, I'm rolling up on this location, which I can't remember the name of the location, but it was the big theater downtown in L.A., and
okay.
It was a cattle call. It was open call in the paper, whoever wants to come. And I remember that there was 2,500 people, or at least that's what I remember being told. And obviously, I didn't count them all. And they were everybody. I walked into this huge amphitheater just chocked full of people and got up on stage, and everybody had numbers a marathon. And they're like, you know what, you should check this out. We want you, here's your lines, bang, 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 do some martial arts. Thank you for coming, have a nice day. And then there was a few smaller auditions at, I remember the casting agent, her name was Katie Wallen.
Yeah,
and,
she cast me too.
I remember,
funny.
Yeah, yeah, and she was spectacular. What an awesome lady. She was so friendly and open, and God bless her, because I'm pretty sure I was peeing on my pants most of the time. I had no idea what was going on. And they kind of walked me through it, read the auditions, and Strath Hamilton, who was the original director from the very get-go for the pilot, was there with Katie, and they kind of talked me through it and helped me do whatever it was I did that won them over. And, it wasn't just me. It was a whole collection, because they had a short group, a medium group, and a tall group, and they put us in these groups, and we pretty much – towards the end, once they paired us into short, medium, and tall groups, stuck us together the whole time. So
wow.
We knew that either we all got it or we all sunk like, you know, the Bismarck out of World War II. And it was you know, follow direction, do this, and, you know, do a bunch of martial arts, throw some sidekicks. And once they figured out that I could – basically read off the pages. They're called sides. You get them every day before the show. Once I realized I could read the sides and do a semi-convincing job and throw a bunch of pretty kicks and, you know, I knew what I was talking about. Then we got towards the final end of the auditions, and I remember meeting up at Saban Entertainment, which was in Burbank, California, and I had this huge fight, pre-choreographed fight audition with a guy by the name of Tadashi Yamashita. And he had come out of, like, the major films as a stunt coordinator. I didn't even realize it at the time. They just told me this guy was, like, the man, and I didn't know enough about acting or stunts or anything. I was like, okay. And then they told me he's a master. And I don't remember the arc now, but I was like, wow, I'm about to get my butt kicked by some dude that I don't even know. And so we choreographed this show, and we showed up at Saban Entertainment, and we rolled up, and Strath Hamilton was there, and, like, the big dogs from 20th Century Fox, and Haim Saban, and Shuki Levy, and Winston, and a bunch of other big dogs, and I can't remember her last name, but all the big dogs were there.
Yeah,
it was a room full of people in this big horseshoe, and we threw down this fight. And in the choreographed practice, there was this one portion where I was doing, like, this full power reverse crescent kick, and I was always holding back because I could feel that he, like, I felt like he wasn't going to get out of the way in time. And finally in the audition, he's like, look, man, do it. Back it out. And I was like, okay. And so I laid it out and caught him full right across the side of the head. And I tell you what, if he hadn't been, like, you know, not that I was so good, only a master could have survived it, but if he hadn't been, like, 1,000 times better than me, I probably would have cracked his face. And he saw it coming, caught it, rolled with it, rolled across the floor, like, up to the table where, like, all the big dogs were sitting, and then got up and came right back in like he didn't miss a beat. And it was only because he was so good that he was able to roll with it, you know what I mean? And he came back in, we finished the fight, and we got, like, a whole standing ovation from everybody in the room, and they clapped, and they were like, that was great. And I was thinking, he's going to kill me, I'm going to die, he's going to hump down the hallway and beat the hell out of me. There is no hope for my survival. Yeah, I was like, he's going to kill me in a back alley and be like, yeah, I remember you, punk. You know, and
mad business.
Yeah, and, you know, we left, and I was terrified, and next thing I know, not only did he not kill me, Strath, the director, came out after, and he's like, man, you nailed that. That was spectacular. I was like, that's great. I'm excited to sign it if I live. And and next thing I know, man, it was that was it. That was the beginning.
You're on the show. Wow.
So it's kind of crazy that they put you up against such a big guy, and, like, you had to do it, and you knocked him out. Like, congratulations, I guess.
Yeah, actually, he wasn't big. He was shorter than me. But let me tell you, I was terrified. This dude was
amazing.
He was mad.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are one of the younger people of the cat.
What's that?
You sound like you were one of the younger one of the cast members, right? Because you said you were like 17 when the process started.
I was the youngest. I was the baby of the group.
How did it feel once, like, I don't know, the first or second season, when it really blew up and became huge? You being the youngest, how did that affect your life? Like, what happened? How did you feel? Were you afraid?
Well, at first, we didn't know. We were our first studios were in Culver City, which was like, you know, stereotypically saying the south side of the tracks. I mean, it was low budget. We were shooting in the ghetto. And, you know, like the riots broke out in L.A. at that time, and nobody could go out to their car alone after dark. And I remember AJ and the other ladies had to be walked out with security. And, like, it was kind of crazy. That was the first, I don't even call it a season. We just started shooting and never stopped. We were 12, 18-hour days.
Kick, fight. Stay up blind.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we every day was, you know, those of us that could do our stunts did them. And, and you know, two cameras rolling. There was A studio and B studio, or not studios, but, you know, Alpha and Bravo cameras. And it was just constant. And I think the show aired, and we knew it was airing, and we'd heard, you know, it was doing well and stuff like that. But we filmed so much that, you know, and I'm still kind of oblivious to the world of Hollywood. But we filmed so much that I don't think any of us really had a clue when it got big. And I remember when it hit for me, Jonathan Sakura came downstairs. And it was late. I don't remember what time. I know it was dark outside. And I'm sitting in this chair, and I got my Red Ranger suit tied around my waist, and I'm reading a book, and I'm just tired, man. And maybe it was Walt. I don't remember which of the other guys was with me at the time. And I remember him coming down and just being like, hey, guys, I thought I'd let you know that you're now the number one children's TV series in the world. And I remember just kind of looking at him like,
wow,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
What?
And
you
ever actually watched
really
yourself
mean?
On the show?
No, I hadn't seen any of it. We had filmed so much. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we had to go and do a portion of each episode called ADR, where we had to go in and sit in the box and do some voiceover. But that was the only footage that I had seen, and 90% of that was me in a costume that I was too busy shooting face footage that I never really got to see any of me in the flesh. You know, it was always I'm in costume, and that's when I was doing the voiceover. So I hadn't really seen anything. And I was just kind of mind blown. I was like 17. I was tired as hell. I wanted to go home and go to bed. And I'm number one in the world the show is number one in the world on a TV series. I'm like, what? That really sounds cool. I think that should probably be really important. But damn, I'm tired. Can I get some food and go to bed? You know? And
that's how it was, because I mean, I tell people all the time, the work schedule was ridiculous. And what's crazy is when you guys left the show, like literally they swooped us in and they were like, you know, you have got a couple weeks and then you're leaving the country. So it was like we were always behind the eight ball. I don't think anybody expected for the show to be number one. So then when it was, they were like, you work so much, you didn't get to really enjoy it was like you kind of lost some of the moment because you were so busy working. But that's why I'm so glad that you're going to be doing some conventions, and, you know, we're doing a lot of conventions together, and you're going to be kind of going all over the country, because I think now it's so amazing. You'll see fans will line up, and the stories they're going to tell you and the things that you did for their life and the influence that this show had on them, it's like you almost get to relive that moment and get to – it's almost like you get the benefit, and it's almost better because you're older and you're wiser and you're better and you can really appreciate it, you know? So I'm glad you're going to be going out. You know, I really am. I'm really excited for you to experience some of that stuff. But guess what? Okay, so we've got a lot of fans that are dying to ask you a question. And the first person we're going to let ask a question is actually running the screening room for us, and it's Miss Allison. Miss Allison, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Allison, ask away. Ask your question. This is Allison.
What was your favorite moment working with True?
Working with the crew?
No, True. True Trang, the yellow.
Oh, Tweet.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
Mispronunciation. Yes.
No, that's all right. My favorite moment working with Tweet. Wow, man, she was.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, she was so cool. I mean, it's hard to narrow it down to one. I think probably some of my most favorite moments, plural. You know, we would be in between scenes, and we'd just be, you know, tired or kind of waiting for, you know, the next moment to move on, and you know, we just kind of chill, and she would just lean back, like, you know, in the command center is one of the moments that comes to mind. We would just be chilling, and I'd lean up against the command center console, you know, kind of arms crossed across my chest, just kicking back, and she would just kind of walk over and lean up against me, and I'd wrap my arms around her waist, and not in a boyfriend or girlfriend sort of way.
Woo!
But it wasn't like that. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't sexual. It was just, you know, brother, sister, you know, and she'd lean up and I'd wrap my arms around her waist and we just kind of chill. And it was a closeness that was much bigger than anything sexual. And we just hang and relax, like, here we are, man. And she'd do it with Walt and the other peeps, and that's just who we were. That's just what we did, and you know, and it was just cool. It was just cool.
Right. You know what? I will say this: when we came on the show, I mean, the show was a hit, and you guys had, you know, left the show, and I mean, Steve, Johnny, myself, we've had many talks about the shoes we had to fill. We were actually really nervous because me personally taking Tweed's place, I mean, you guys were beloved, like. I just remember people loved you guys so much, and so I'm so happy that we were able to, you know, make the characters our own and kind of do our own thing so that, you know, everybody kind of, you know, they were able to love us, but not, you know, necessarily like, okay, you guys are here and you guys are going to, we never felt like we could replace you is what I'm trying to say. But what I've always wondered, because I know, like, of course, Amy and I got really close because we were the only girls on set and the boys were driving us insane half the time. And I got really close. Me and Johnny, we were the youngest at this time, you know. Who was, like, your close friend on set? Because I know, like, Johnny and I would go to the movies, we'd hang out. We were both from Texas. We got cast together, so we had this, like, bond. But who were some of your personal besties, I guess I could say, for lack of a better word, on set?
Well, I mean, as far as the actors go, Twee was, she was very special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Walter, or Zach, as everybody else knows him, was like my big brother. I mean, I lived with him at the time. You know, we had our party pad and stuff like that, but he was like my big bro.
Legendary parties.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But I think Janie, who did continuity, not that a lot of people who haven't been around the set would know what that means, but Janie, though I never told her this, we never had any great intimate or personal conversations. I was so young, she was kind of like my surrogate mother, even though I probably have never told her that. I loved her dearly, and she was always wonderful. I think she was probably one of the most special people on set that wasn't, like, my best friend, you know?
Nice. Well, I think that's something great with you guys working all those hours. You have to bond with the people that are around the set because you don't have anybody else.
You can't help but bond with them. I mean, you're living with them. living, working, eating,
yeah.
breathing with. And it was crazy.
And now you, I think, from what I everything I've learned, you know, we've talked a lot on the show, and they did that reunion thing last year. It went south with everybody, and you know how cheap Saban is. You left, and then you came back twice. How the hell did that happen, and what got you to come back? Like, that's what I need to know, boo-boo. Like, were we talking, like, were they raining the money? Like, what happened?
Well, you know, it was, hell, I'm not even sure myself. I don't know if I got sentimental or what, but, you know, I don't even remember how I got contacted. I think it was Shuki Levy who contacted me for the movie, and we got to talking, and I was like, yeah, and he said something to the effect of, hey, man, you know, we're thinking about doing another movie. What do you think? And I was like, oh, you know, have a good time, because I turned down the first one. And we kind of got to chatting a little more about it, and I don't remember a lot of the details, but I think I kind of joked with him at one point. I was like, hey, you know, it'd be kind of cool to be evil, like be a bad guy. And he was like, and I remember him just kind of like, yeah, kind of taking it in. And I didn't really think much more of it at the time. In fact, I think, I want to say I was on the set of another flick he was shooting. I don't even remember where we were at the time, but it, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I'd like to be a bad guy. And he was like, yeah, okay, cool. Cut, you know, and, you know, just kind of a sidebar conversation on whatever he was shooting at the time, if I remember correctly. And next thing I know, you know, there's a script coming around, and here I am evil with Kimberly, and I was like, that just seems like a lot of fun. I could totally
yeah.
do that.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, so we, you know, next thing I know, here I am being evil and not wearing spandex. Well, I was kind of wearing spandex, but not really. It was so tight, you know, and it went from there, and I had a blast doing it.
Awesome.
Wow, that's great. You know, speaking of spandex and whatnot, as you know, we are Uncensored Radio, and one of our hosts, Katrina Johnson, couldn't be here with us tonight, but she did want me to ask you this question. I'm going to shake it up a bit, and I'm sure some of our female listeners will appreciate this as well. They'd like to know what the original Red Ranger prefers, boxers or briefs or something else, fill in the blank.
I'm going to have to. Well, I mean, I'm Commando right now, but I think are my favorite.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. St. John.
I'm just saying. Commando at this moment is like, it's made everybody's life. Oh my gosh.
How you doing?
But you know what? It's not like special just to me. Like, every dude has a moment where he's like, you know what? The hell with underwear. I'm just throwing on my shorts. So I'm just throwing on my jeans. And, you know, I throw them on like everybody else. And at this moment, I'm not feeling the underwear, like, specialness. But I definitely did, I think, like the boxer briefs, you know. It's
snug,
I get my support, but it's not crazy, you know what I mean?
Katrina is going to die that she was not here. You know what, Austin, we've got somebody on the line. Hey, caller, where are you calling from? I think it's Jeremy. Jeremy, where are you calling from?
Santa Rosa, California.
Awesome.
What
is your question for Austin St. John?
So I just want to say thank you for coming back to fandom and whatnot. What's your most looking forward to the convention and stuff? Are you a fan of the celebrities and stuff?
I'm totally looking forward to coming back to the conventions and the fans. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little intimidated. It's been a long time. I've had a whole other career on the other side of the world, but it's going to be so new and different for me, because what I remember of the fans was when you guys were like my age or younger, you know, I wasn't much older than any of my fans. And now I get to hear and see like what you, people like Jeremy and Allison, who had the other question, have
mm-hmm.
grown up and done with their lives, you know, and that's
right.
What a like blast forward for me, because
mm-hmm.
I've skipped a whole lot, and I can't wait to hear what you guys have done and where you've been and what has become of you and your lives and your families and where you were when you watched the show. So I'm thrilled to see it all, and a little bit scared. I might have to wear my
Aww.
Boxer briefs when I do that, but you know, I'm just saying. It's confusing.
No command, no action. That's at Comic Palooza, which is next week,
yeah,
for those of you
I
who are in the Houston area.
Yeah, I might be feeling like I need a little extra support those days. I'm not lying.
So this is the thing. We're going to get a lot of the fans on here in a second, but I want to ask a question because we've all been wondering. We've heard so many stories that you've been overseas, you've been, in the military. What have you been up to? Everyone's dying to know where you've been. What have you been doing?
Well, like the last, I guess almost 4 years now, I have been in the Middle East. I just have gotten back from Kuwait, and I've been working as a medic in support of the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, Air Force, Department of Defense, other contract agencies, and, I'm just lowly old medic, man. You know, people get sick, people get hurt. And, I was doing my best to be there and patch them up. Sometimes
wow.
it was nothing more than they didn't feel good, and, I'd do my best to make them feel better. But,
wow. Real hero.
It's kind of, I don't know. I wouldn't call
yeah,
it all that.
No, seriously, I think that's amazing. I mean, anybody who has a job that's of service, and, it's not safe in Kuwait, and it's like, for you to go and do that, it's like I tell people all the time, like, we've even said it on panels and stuff that we heard you were being a real hero, and Walter, I've gotten to know him so well, and he always talks so fondly of you, and it's always like, Austin's really being a hero somewhere else. He didn't just play one on screen. He's actually doing it. He's living his life doing that. So that's pretty awesome, man.
You know what was crazy is I remember very early in my martial arts in the beginning of learning martial arts, which never ends, but I remember one of my instructors saying to me, balance is not just learning how to break the body, but learning how to heal it. And I guess it was much later in life when it was the fans who really impressed upon me the fact that they thought I was this special hero type, which I worked so hard to portray as a new actor. I kind of thought, hell, I'd love to do that in real life. And it was years later when I met a friend who was like, hey, man, I'm a volunteer at this place. You should come check it out. And I thought, well, I'm a spontaneous guy. Why the hell not? And I fell in love
right.
with it. next thing I know, people aren't calling me for barbecues. They're calling me for, holy shit, my loved one is dying. And that was kind of a gut check moment for me. It really was.
Wow.
And, I've been there for some amazing miracles and some pretty horrific moments in my career, but I wouldn't change any of it. I just love being there for the guy next door and his mom,
mm-hmm.
the girl next door. It's an amazing thing.
It
right.
definitely
keep
takes
it
a special kind of person to be able to do that because it's tough. You're working with
you
death.
Know,
sad things, like it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. And there are so many special men and women who blazed this trail long before me. Long before
wow.
me.
That, right.
I feel like it's each one of them who deserve all the credit long before those
mm-hmm.
of us who are doing it now. And
right.
I just hope I stand up to their standards. I learned so much from each of them.
Wow.
It's definitely awesome and amazing that you were able to go do that. So I kind of have everybody always asks this question. Since, you kind of took a job where you're observing people and maybe, you got some calls because somebody was stuck or something crazy, Have you had anybody notice you on the job or recognize who you were and, like, you know, that crazy fan story where they're like, oh,
good
my God!
Question.
You know, it has definitely happened. What's crazy about it is sometimes when it happens, I don't even know it happens, and or at least at the time I didn't know it happened, and I would run the call, drop them off at the hospital or at the barracks or, you know, with their NCO, non-commissioned officer, or officer, and, you know, go on about my business, you know, go back to the station or my hooch and do my thing, and then, like, maybe a day or sometimes months later, I would either get an email or a phone call or just this drop by. Somebody drop by in the station and be like, hey, man, were you, like, that dude? And I'm like,
that guy?
I'm like, yeah,
from that thing?
Guy? Yeah, and there was a long period of time where I would try to be like, well, who are you talking about? I'm not sure, and leave it on the down low, trying, because I didn't want any of my medics or firefighter coworkers to feel like I was any better than them, or
right.
You know, and sometimes they would get that impression, and I was just trying to be like another guy, just another medic, or, you know, at some points I got promoted and you know, the last time I didn't even try, and it was kind of odd how that happened, but nonetheless, it was one of those things where I was just trying to be me, man. I was trying to be normal. And so I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. They'd be like, no, dude, you were that guy. You were Austin St. John. I'd be like, yeah, that was me. Yep. Yep, I can't hide it. All right, yep, you got me. And then there would be other times where I was in the back of the ambulance, like in the city, in you know, Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and guys would get in, and they'd be like, man, my arm, you know, broke arm, broke leg, and they'd be like, holy crap, you're the Red Ranger. And I'm like, I'm sitting here drawing up drugs, getting ready to give them morphine to take away their pain, and all of a sudden they forgot their arms all busted, and I'm like, this cannot be normal. Like, I've been doing this long enough now. Like, this cannot be normal. I've seen enough broke arms. Like, I didn't, like I should have touched their head, your heels, you know, but it didn't happen that way. And, you know, they're just like, and all the way to the hospital, then I give them morphine, and then they get happier. They're like, man, when I was growing up, you should have seen this. And I did this. No, man, my arm's fine. Leave me alone. Can you sign my cast? I was like, you don't have one yet, dude. You're still in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. You know, so, I mean, there was definitely some times where it was crazy. And then there'd be other times where, like, moms would roll up to the firehouse afterwards, and they'd be like, hey, you know, thank you so much for taking care of my little boy and my little girl, and they'd bring a batch of cookies for, you know, the fire guys at the house. Yeah, and I'm just like, you know what? That is so cool. You know what? We're here for you, and we love what we do because we love people like you, and thank you for the cookies, you know? So there's stories as well. I could keep this going for a while, but I know we got a show to roll on.
Yeah, no worries. Guess what? We've got another caller. Hello, caller. Who's on the line? I think it might be Miss Lisa J. Is that you, Miss Lisa J?
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Well, hi, Austin. How are you doing?
I'm good. What do you got for me?
So,
be gentle. I'm fragile. I'm a flower.
This is going to be easy. Actually, I remember the first time that I met you was at the first Paramorphicon, and I was on the staff, and just right before I had to go fly out to California, because I'm from New York, I busted my ankle. So I just happened, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get. Long story short, I rode in the van with you on the way to the hotel, and I remember, I don't know, some kind of thing happened, some kind of conversation, and I made a joke, and you laughed at it. And I, to this day, I'm just like, yeah, that's right. I made the original Red Ranger. That's right. And I
got me twice.
There you go. So my question is there anyone in that when you were growing up where you had a moment of meeting them and remembering, like, oh, man, like, I met them and I made them, you know, either laugh or cry or any kind of idol or, you know, someone that you admired that experience happened to you?
Good question.
Before other people decided I was special, you mean?
Right, yeah, I think that's what she means. Like, is there somebody that, like, you looked up to that you had the opportunity of meeting and you got to make them laugh, or is there any kind of moment like that you've ever had?
I'll tell you, wow. You know, I think that probably some of the most special people in my life, that's kind of tough. I moved so much. Because my dad was in the Corps, we traveled so much. I think that I was always meeting new people, sometimes every 9 months to a year.
Wow.
And I got very good at blending into new places and meeting new people and having to find ways to just not be the retarded new guy on the block, which was probably most of the time. But I met so many people. I don't know that I ever became a joke teller. I think I was just kind of like, yeah, this is me, and I'm actually naturally kind of stupid, maybe retarded, maybe silly.
Oh.
I mean, there's so many different words for it. Like, I'm just me, man. I am what I am. And I always loved making people laugh. I don't know that I was ever good at it, but that just kind of became what I was. But I think the people I love making laugh the most were my kid brother and my mom and dad growing up. And I remember always cherishing those moments.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, wow, I don't know what to say to that. I always wanted to be funny. I think I got better as I got older.
Aw, that's great. No, I think family is always best. We got another caller on the line that wants to ask you a question. Hey, Mikey, what's your question? Mikey, you there?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up? It's Mikey from Ranger Stop.
Nice.
Right on. What's going on, dude?
Our question from Ranger Stop is we wanted to know what was how do you feel about coming back to the convention scene? Like, how did you expect to have this kind of feedback with your return to the U.S.?
Wow, Mikey, that's kind of a question I'm still asking myself to this day. I'm still kind of on a mind trip on this one, because not only do I still not know what to expect, absolutely I have been blown away. By what people are telling me. And I say that very carefully because I haven't been there yet. So I got with, you know, Susan Matisse, picked a fan page, and it had, I think, like 8,000 people on it. And I was like, hey, this is a cool page. And Zach, my agent, was like, hey, man, there's a bunch of conventions. People would love to see you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had a whole another version of a career right now, and I'm kind of at the point to where it's like I've been very cautious. People are like, yeah, you're going to be great. You're the OG. You know, you need a role up here. And I was like, I want to believe you, but I'm just I'm not that into myself. You know, I'm not like I need to see my pretty face every day and just look at it and be like, I'm so cool. And so I'm kind of tripping right now over like what everybody's telling me, and my page is blown up, and all these promises
it's like
are out
over
there.
18,000.
Like in a little over a month, I think I'm at like 22 now, and I couldn't be more flattered. There's the bottom line. I'm flattered. I'm blown away. I have a little bit of disbelief. And I'm grateful. I don't know
how
you
about to be on a tour.
What's
that? You're about to be on a tour. Just from us doing the conventions with Karen, the fans are so sweet. They're so Yeah, I don't know if intense is the right word, but, you know, they know, like, do you remember the episode, blah, 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 blah. And I think they always, Karen, right, anytime that I've been with you at the convention, mm-hmm. they've always asked about you. Do you know when he's coming back? Is he going to be at the next one? Always. Every convention I've been to is her.
And tell him to come back. And I'm like, I can't call him and make him come back, but he'll be back. Like, I knew eventually you'd show up. But, yeah, no, they're so – you'll see. There's nothing for you to worry about because the Mighty Morphin cast, I'm so honored. We get so much love. I mean, it's like – and you guys, Walter – David, I mean, you guys, the OJ original Rangers, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm telling you. Just brace yourself because you're going to be, like, so floored.
I don't even know what to say. I'm excited and terrified all in the same, like, can I fit both of those words into one word?
Yes.
Like, I'm excited. You know,
you
I mean, you know, I'm just like, holy crap, here it comes. And, yeah, I'm a little bit scared. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'm excited and scared. I can't wait. I can't wait to meet everybody.
You'll be great. We have you know, the Yellow Ranger in your corner over there. She'll take good care of you. All
Now look, just be careful. If she starts offering you shots, don't do it because the bitch has roofied me twice now. Don't do it.
That means I got something to look forward to. Come on now.
No, because she just got married. No, I'm telling you, I was like, Karen, you can't have me. I'm gay. Don't do it. But she's a beast. So just be careful.
You know what? You got to be professional, man. You got to be professional. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all
right.
It is.
Exactly.
It's
so
good
there
business.
Are a lot of people. They are, like, waiting on – they're waiting patiently on the line. So I'm going to get to some more callers. I think the next person we have on the line is – well, this person, I don't know who they are, but their area code is 786, and they've been on the hold. They've been on the line for about 56 minutes. If you have a 786 number, you're on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hey, guys. This is Mike Valdez from Miami.
Nice.
What's up,
Miami?
What's up, guys? Austin, my question for you is, after your last day on set, what do you want to do with your career? Did you want to continue acting, or do you want to pursue a different direction? Like, what were you thinking?
Ooh, good question.
Good one.
What was I thinking? Man, that's a loaded, like, you got another hour? Because that's, that's a loaded
Actually,
question.
We do.
What was I thinking my last day on set? You know, I'm not going to lie, my last day on set, I was not happy with the show. I wasn't happy. Well, that's not true. You know what? I love the show. I love the kids. I wasn't too excited about the parents because they were usually absolutely crazy. But I love the kids. And when I left the show, I was really kind of bummed to be leaving the kids who, you know, just like me as a kid, I look at Superman and he was just almost immortal. I mean, and I knew that to some of the little ones, that's how they saw my coworkers and I hated to leave them. I had a deep sense of abandonment, but I also believed in myself and in my coworkers, namely Walter and Tweet, well, all of them, but Walter and Tweet left with me, and I believed that what we were paid at the time was beyond poverty compared to the $1 billion the show made the first year. And it wasn't so much about the money. It was about what I believed was right, which equals respect. As in, can I get a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T? And,
You got all of it for me, man, we could go on for hours about that subject.
So I kind of... I picked my battle. I stood my ground, and I told them that if things didn't change, I was leaving. They didn't want to change it, and I left. So I was scared. I felt guilty, but I was proud of those that came with me for standing their ground and moving on. I had no idea what I wanted to do after.
Wow. No, I agree. Like, a lot of people, they think, you know, I've heard, like, I've seen on Twitter and Facebook, and people will go, oh, you know, it shouldn't be about the money. It should be about fans. And I think a lot of times, you know, it has always been about the fans. Like, you were on the show as long as you were because of the fans, because in reality, the what they were paying you guys and what they paid us and what a lot of people got paid, it was hard to even pay your rent with that kind of money. So it was like, we wanted a chance to be actors. The show blew up, and there was this obligation to the fans, and you stayed on as long as you could, but then you were like, something's got to give, because, you know, everyone else, that you know, the producers and the high-ups were, like, buying mansions and driving, you know, Ferraris, and
Humvee.
We were like,
yeah.
Yeah, we were like, can we even put gas in our car, you know?
Yeah, let me give you, so, you know. You're exactly
good
right.
For you.
My first probably 60 episodes, I drove a Toyota Starlet from like 82. I inherited from my uncle who passed away. My father got it through the will. That's what I drove to the pilot and the first few episodes. That wasn't 60, but like first 15, 20 episodes. That's what I drove.
Wow.
It was ugly gunmetal gray. The paint was peeling. And I had a toolbox in the trunk. It was a hatchback. Ugly as hell. Ugly as hell. And I had a toolbox in the trunk so I could get myself where I needed to go, from the gas station to work to everywhere else. We lived together, Walt and I and several other guys, in a single house because none of us, even collectively, in the first season / two, could really afford to get our own place. So it wasn't so much about money. It was me looking at exactly what you mentioned, Karen. You know, the owner of the show is buying places all over the globe, and, damn, I'm trying to make rent, and I'm trying to get this done. And it wasn't until I left the show that I was able to start making even a little bit of money, just moving on. So it's never been about money. We've never been millionaires.
Right.
We're not making millions on this, and or at least I'm not. And there may be others that are now, but it ain't this guy.
And for the record, they are neither. But,
you know,
I think for a lot of it, though, the fans really get that, you know, especially being so many years later. They know, like, at some point, you've got to make a decision for you, like, all right, I need to at least make a living, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's why I decided I had to move on, even though I didn't know where or to what.
Well, we've got another caller on the line. It's one of our really VIP, like, he supported Uncensored Radio from the very beginning. Mr. Toku is on the line. Toku, what's your question?
Hey, what's up, Austin? First, I want to make mention and say you're one of the main driving forces behind the stuff that I do today. You're the confidence you aired on the show. I think exuded to a lot of kids and pushes people to this day. So I just want to say that first off.
Well,
now for my question.
Go ahead, man.
Now for my question. What is that actually initially brought you, just made you decide to come back? Because I know that with some of the stuff that was going on around the internet, it couldn't have been an easy decision for you either way.
What made you say, okay, I'm going to come back and do a convention? You know, because that's a pretty big decision.
Yeah, it absolutely was, especially sitting in the Middle East in a sandbox, sometimes in a tent, sometimes in a brick building, sometimes in something no bigger than a trailer, sometimes in a unit on the side of the highway in the desert. It was. I knew, even debating it, it was an incredible lifestyle change because I'd been there before. And I guess first, let me tell you, Toku, there's an enormous difference between confidence and arrogance. And if I exuded confidence, I couldn't be more flattered by your ability to delineate the difference between the two. I've been humbled way too many times in my life to ever consider myself arrogant, though there are those who don't know me who have made that claim. I thank you for using the word confident and hope you truly believe it.
As far as what made me make the decision, you know, I've always been somewhat of a spontaneous guy. I do plan out and execute, and I do think well ahead. But I also operate deeply on my own internal belief system. I think it was one of those moments where when the invitation came to me through my friend Walter, i.e. through Zach, which was who he sent to me and brought me the offer, it just felt right at the time. The money potential that was there was enough for me to step away from a long, hard-earned medical career for a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to be retiring and buying houses in Miami after this, but it was enough for me to step away, and I needed a break. I needed a break from medicine. I needed a break from the extremely high tension behind chronic emergencies. I needed to step away and take a breather, and this came in at just the right time, and Walt told me how different the fandom was and how loving the fans were, and it was just right place, right time, and it worked with my internal belief system. And it still left me the ability to support what I need to support without starving. I hope that answered your question.
I think that's an important thing for the fans to know. Like, it's a great opportunity for you guys to come back, to meet them, and, you know, to finally maybe get a little something that you deserve. I think that's fair, and you guys all deserve it.
I don't even know what to say to that. All I can say is thank you. And I appreciate your belief.
Hey, Tom, Karen, and you're on the line with Austin St. John.
What's up, Tom?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you've ever been to Canada, and if not, what you're looking forward to about when you come to Canada this October.
I have been to Canada. I've been to Toronto. I've been to Quebec. I think I went to Ontario once, and I met so many folks up there a long time ago, and it was kind of cool. And I can tell you the beer was amazing. Holy cow, it was strong. Let me tell you that. definitely put a dent in me, but. It was awesome, man. I love Canada. As far as my travels for the rest of this year, what's expected? I know currently I've got two more shows coming up in Canada. I'm in talks with London. I'm in talks with two other places in Australia. I'm in talks with Venezuela, Brazil. I've got multiple places that have announced around the U.S. I've got quite a few more that haven't announced yet, and I'm actually getting kind of annoyed they haven't announced, but it is my intention between now and the end of this year and maybe next year to really hit the global market. I want to travel everywhere, and I'm doing everything I can through my agent to get there. I just don't know what all is going to be approved and signed between now and then.
Nice. Well, Zach is my agent also, so if it's up to him, he's going to have you all across the world. So you just pack your bags and get used to living out of a suitcase, because Zach is the business. He is, like, major.
Well, Miss Ashley, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to going to London either. You know, like,
I know, right? He's talking about Venezuela. I'm like, honey, you need a personal assistant.
Right? He's like doing big things. If it happens, guys, and my hubby doesn't want to go, then you guys are next on the list. Wink, wink.
We gonna need that buddy pass. You know,
right,
we got a low budget on this show, Austin.
A low budget blues over here. But we also got John on the line. I'm gonna try to get two more callers in, Austin, because I know we're nearing the end of the show. So, John, what's your question for Austin St. John?
Hey, Austin, how you doing? And, Karen, thank you for having me. Welcome
Absolutely.
Back to Action, Austin.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, brother.
Hey, no problem. It's good to have you back. Well, my question is, obviously, you know, with the demand for you back on the convention scene, there's also been, fans wanting to know if possibly if Saban were to approach you for the upcoming season of Power Rangers in a role, returning as your character Jason Lee Scott, would it be something you would consider doing for the fandom? And you know, if you get the respect that you deserve, would it be something you'd be interested in considering?
Wow, you know, you ask a really good question, and it's one I ask myself. Well,
it's not one I've asked myself for the last 7 or 8 years, but it's certainly one I'm asking myself a lot over the last month and a half. I got to tell you, I would consider it, but I don't even know myself what I would need in order to be content with that agreement. I know I was offered an agreement for the show in New Zealand for the 20-year reunion, and I absolutely shut them down. If there was a series role, my heart tells me that I would certainly be interested, but really, it would really depend on Haim and or whoever was doing the negotiations. And don't let anybody fool you, Haim is in charge of all of his negotiations.
he will so, say he's not, but
he's not one of those guys that just lets the reins loose and let other people handle his business. So I would love it, but it would really depend on so much.
Right. What do you think about the whole, like, I heard this week there's, like, supposedly a reboot of the movie, and I know the fans went crazy because they all decided to Facebook me and call me and text me and tweet me, and they were like,
putting it out with Saban.
Yeah, and I know nothing about it. Like, I learned about it with them. But what do you think about that? Because it's getting a reboot. And I kept telling them, I'm like, well, a reboot, usually it's a different cast, and it's like a newer version. Yeah. And what do you think about it?
Well, I agree with you. I think if I were Haim and I had a 20-year-old series, I would probably recreate it entirely from scratch and bring in a whole new generation. And I think that, that's what I would do as a businessman, not as a ranger, not as a guy who loves the fans, but as a businessman, I'd recreate it, sell it, start it right over from the new, and make another $1 billion the first year, and, roll on with my business.
Right.
You know, what I consider something like that, if there was a role in it, come back and, myself or Franks or, one of the other old Rangers come in and kind of as the mentor, see off the new kiddos, good job, here's our blessing.
Yeah,
I would probably do that. That would be fun just for fun's sake. But I don't know. Yeah, I really at this point don't expect anything coming back my way. And I think it's cool. And if I were Haim, I would be doing exactly what he was doing.
Right. Well, we're almost at the end. Jeffrey, I know you have one other question you wanted to ask.
Well, you're coming back to all of the conventions, and you have all these fans that are so excited and they're waiting. What's your message to them? What do you want to say to them that you haven't really got the chance to say in the last 7-8 years?
Damn, Jeff, how you gonna leave me on a question like that? What's up with that?
He got all deep. He got all
deep. Wow,
I'm trying to be Oprah.
I'm trying to get some Oprah money up on this show, so I gotta go.
All right, Jeff. All right, I'm feeling it. I mean, give me a moment. Let me find my inner chi. Okay, all right. I think. Man, that's like, what would I say? You know, I'm not a guy that likes to talk a lot. Like, I'm just trying to get through the show. I tell you what, I think what I would say is this. I've had a lot of careers. I left Hollywood. I ended up bouncing in a topless bar. I ended up bouncing in a nightclub. I ended up homeless for a while. I ended up sleeping out of the back of my Jeep. I ended up doing some things that definitely took me from the very top to the very bottom. And what it taught me was a lot of humility. So I think what I would say to everybody out there, be it hard times or good times, there's always going to be people that are going to try and keep you down. There's always going to be someone that wants to tell you no. There's always going to be someone that's going to tell you you can't do that, you're not capable. Those are the kind of people you don't need in your life. Those are the kind of people you need to replace with your own
guts, inner belief, strength. Those are the kind of people that you need to tell them, you know what, you're a member, as my wife would say, of the Squat and Watch Club. Shut up, have a seat, watch me do this. And if you can't get on board with me, then you need to get off the train. So be who you need to be. Don't let other people tell you who you can be. I think that's probably what I would tell people, and that's one of the things that has led me where I needed to be in life, and I'm not done traveling yet.
Right.
I think that's one of the best answers we've ever had.
Ever gotten, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
My inner she is all burnt out, like no more.
It's all burnt out. Okay, so on that note, we are going to have to end this. It's been amazing, and I want you guys to know that Austin and I, like I said, we're going to be at Comicpalooza the next week, May 23rd through the 25th in Houston, Texas. If you're in the Houston area, you guys got to go. You got to look at his Facebook wall. You got to look at his Twitter. They're posting everything. I mean, he's signing up for conventions. Every second there's a new convention. So he will be in a city near you, and we're obviously going to keep in touch with him. And he and I are actually going to sit down and have an even deeper conversation once we meet, and we'll be sure and post that. But Austin, man, it's so nice to hear your voice. I'm so excited to meet you, and I'm so glad you're back. And I just want to thank you for the doors that you guys opened for, you know, cast like mine that came after you. You know, you guys kicked it off, and, you know, we did our best trying to keep up with what you started. So thank you for that challenge. And God bless you, man. God bless you. I can't wait to meet you.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what? You guys held your own, and you took it to a whole new place. So kudos to you guys. You didn't need our help.
Yay. Aww, well,
Ranger,
thank you.
Bonding.
Thank you for, I know, Ranger
Please.
Love.
Well,
I will see you soon, sir.
I haven't even met you yet, and I already love you. I can't wait to meet you, and I look forward to Houston. I look forward to the fans, and let's do this again soon.
Yes, yes. Uncensored Radio, guys. Oh, my God, we're out. If we didn't get to your question, I swear, I will ask him the question when he and I do our sit-down interview. But thank you. Thanks, guys. You guys are great. Fans have some
Thanks
awesome questions. Good night, everybody.
Good night. If you missed any portion of this interview with Austin St. John, make sure you go to our webpage, www.myuncensoredradio.com, and listen on demand anytime, anywhere.
Whoop, whoop. Good night. Sleep tight. See you in Houston.
Look out for them bed bugs, children. Woo, they fresh.
Good show.
Yeah, that was good. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right.
Is he still here?
I don't know. My thing went down.